strangely enough, there are some people who just aren't afraid of God's judgment. In fact, they're looking forward to it. Skip Heitzig suggests that this is because they don't really understand what will happen when that judgment day arrives.
But the cowardly, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part, listen to the description, in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, as you're lingering on those words, think to some of the sentiments you have heard people say, maybe at work or at school or even in your own family. They talk about, I don't want to go to heaven, it's boring, I'd rather go to hell. That's where all my buddies are going to be. And they talk about it like it's some nightclub in the sky. That's where the fun begins. Oh no, it will be severe.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study.
People sue for some strange reasons. They sue because their coffee is too hot, because fast food makes them fat, and a woman in Great Britain was sued because, according to a neighbor, she laughed too loud. No, seriously, that actually happened. This plethora of lawsuits over even the most minor offenses shows us that, among other things, people want justice, even if it's just their skewed view of it. One day, however, justice will be served to the entire world, and it will be completely fair. Now, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig gives us a preview of God's judgment to come. But before we get started with that, here's how you can get a documentary that I think you and your family will find very helpful during this time of year.
The innocence of today's youth is being shattered. A recent obsession with the occult and spirituality is shattering any semblance of a Christian worldview among our children, even among those raised in the church. Dark creatures like vampires and werewolves are shattering the traditional image of being a hero. Virtual reality is shattering our hold on physical reality. Is there anything that can be done to stop this trend? Shattered, a documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig, explores the impact of today's media and what you and I can do about it. In order to help save our youth from having their lives shattered, we need to act now. Find out what we can do in this fascinating documentary. Order Shattered today for just $15. If we don't do something now, we'll have nothing but pieces or broken lives to pick up later. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
God is loving and compassionate, that's true, but He's also holy, just, and fair. In fact, He's the only one who truly embodies all of those things, making Him the most qualified judge around. And what will His judgment be like? Well, Abraham and Lot got to see a bit of it up close and personal, and we'll discover what they learned in today's study.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study.
Turn once again to Genesis chapter 19, and let's join Skip Heitzig as he continues with his rather intriguing and, to be honest, at times uncomfortable study.
Think to some of the sentiments you have heard people say maybe at work or at school or even in your own family. They talk about, I don't want to go to heaven, it's boring, I'd rather go to hell. That's where all my buddies are going to be. And they talk about it like it's some nightclub in the sky. That's where the fun begins. Oh no. It will be severe. A chaplain joined the armed services. It was during wartime, and the soldiers gathered around him and asked this reverend, this chaplain, "Sir, do you believe in hell?" He said to the soldiers, "No, I don't." And the soldier said, "Then would you please resign?" He said, "Why should I resign?" He said, "Well, if there is no hell, we don't need you. If there is a hell, we don't need you to lead us astray." They understood what it meant at the bottom line of life. It will be severe not only in its destruction, but it's in its pervasiveness. Yes, verse 25. He overthrew those cities. Notice the word all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. Nothing was untouched. No one was left out, except for one family. We'll get to that in a minute. Young, old, male, female, rich, poor, all is included in the word all. By the way, I looked up all in Hebrew. You know what it means? It means all. It means everyone. No one was untouched. Now, I'm going to jump ahead again to a final courtroom scene in Revelation 20. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. John said, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open." Now, here's a courtroom scene unlike a courtroom scene. The books are open. There's no debate about guilt. There's a prosecutor. There's no defender. There's a judge. There's no jury. There's a sentence. There's no appeal. There's prison. There's no escape, no parole. It's done. It says small and great they were standing before God. Again, the somebody, the nobody, the rich and famous, the obscure, kings, queens, peasants, ambassadors, presidents, voters, everyone standing before God. I've been to Rome, and there's a chapel there called the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. In fact, they're going to put it up on the screen. And it's a picture that I first saw when I walked in. It's one of Michelangelo's most famous, called The Last Judgment. You can see it's a depiction of Christ with his arm raised in judgment. And Michelangelo portrayed the judgment of the earth, the dead and the living at that time. The final judgment, Christ putting down the sentence. When that painting, which was done in 1533, was first published, it said that all of Europe trembled because of it. There was a pervading humanism in the day, and even the church lost sight of the holy presence of God. And this brought to their minds the idea, once again, God is holy. And if God is holy, God is just. And if God is just, God will judge. And the punishment is depicted as very severe. And this did a lot for people who viewed this, as they once again saw the need to walk in holiness before God. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to Luke. I mentioned that, didn't I? Luke 16. If you would turn to Luke chapter 16 in your New Testament. I'll tell you why I'm having you turn here. You and I will read a very vivid account. You might call it an interview with somebody who has died. It's an interview after death of an unbeliever as well as a believer. It is not an out-of-body experience. It is not an alien abduction. It is not an X-file. It is not fiction. In fact, I don't even think it's a parable. Because Jesus names two people in the story, I think he is actually talking about a very vivid and true thing that happened, something that was seen. Verse 19. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." What a picture. What a pathetic picture. "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried." Let's say you were there in Jerusalem at their funeral. You'd probably see the poor guy being thrown into a garbage dump where bodies were put en masse, like in the Valley of Hinnom, and then burned. But don't you know, the rich man's funeral had the best casket. It was a pomp and ceremony. It was magnificent. There were trumpeters and food afterwards, and probably very expensive food afterwards. That's as far as their body goes, but their souls are a very different picture. Look at the next verse. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Stop. Boy, this reads a lot differently than a lot of those fanciful bestsellers on the New York Times bestseller list about dying and seeing a bright light and feeling a warm tunnel and waking up and realizing I can live any way I want to because it's okay. It's all good. Boy, this is different. And this is Jesus telling the story. This is Jesus talking. I want you to notice something. First of all, this man is experiencing agony. Notice what it says, that he is in torments in Hades. Notice the next verse. He says, I am tormented in this flame. That's literal pain. Second thing I want you to notice is he's fully conscious. He can glimpse the other side and see people at peace and at rest. The third thing I want you to notice, he has memory. Verse 25, Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. So he sees, he hears, he senses, and he remembers. Fourth thing I want you to notice, he's permanently there. He is permanently there. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. And then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. There's a great gulf fixed. In other words, it's impossible to change destinies after death. Did you hear that? That rules out reincarnation. That rules out purgatorial punishment. That rules out what the philosophers like Hume and Feuerbach said, that we cease to exist after death. This rules out soul sleep. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, Seventh-day Adventists, even Luther for a while. That there is this permanence there. Let's finish it up because it is poignant. He says, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, in other words, if they can't believe the scripture, neither will they be persuaded, though one rises from the dead. Think of that. Talk about missionary zeal. Talk about evangelistic zeal. If it doesn't exist anywhere else, be assured it exists in hell. There are people there today who sense the need of the gospel being preached to their relatives. Send someone to tell my family. Now go back to Genesis. We've seen some pretty heavy things. Judgment is certain. Judgment will be sudden. Judgment will be severe. The final thing I want you to notice is that judgment is selective. And here we close. Judgment is selective. Verse 29. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. Remember, he prayed last time. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Did you notice that God made a difference? A differentiation when he judged the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? A difference between Lot and his family and the rest of the people in the city? You know that God did the same in the flood, didn't he? He destroyed the world in the flood, but there were eight people in that ark that didn't go through the judgment. They were lifted up out of the judgment as the waters rose. Now, would you turn one more time to 2 Peter? Last time, I promise. But after all, this is called a Bible study, so let's do it. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then, here is the bottom line, if that's all true, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. God makes a difference when he judges. Think back, he did it in Ezekiel 9 when the man with the ink horn marked all the righteous people in Jerusalem so as not to judge them. It happens again in Revelation chapter 7 when 144,000 are marked and kept out of judgment. And it will happen at the rapture of the church when God, like the flood, like Lot, will remove us out of the scene as he judges the earth. That is part of the righteous character and the mercy of Almighty God. Now, on what basis does God make that difference? The basis of faith. The basis of a simple, I place my trust in God and his promises. Now, so far, we've been in Abraham's sandals and looking at the plain and seeing Sodom and Gomorrah go up in smoke. And it's been a pretty grisly sight. But as we close, would you turn your focus off of Sodom and Gomorrah and onto Calvary? Sodom and Gomorrah was a place of great judgment. Calvary was a place of great judgment. My judgment for Skip's sins for all of his life and all of yours were placed upon him, and he died in our place. Our judgment was taken by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Now, judgment is coming. It will be sudden. It will be severe. But you don't have to go through it. When homesteading was popular in our country, 100 or so years ago, and people were moving from east to west and were settling out in the plains, a group was traveling by covered wagon. Slowly moving across the plains, one afternoon they noticed smoke rising out of the horizon, miles wide, many miles wide, moving at them. It was a brush fire. The grass was burning quickly and moving at them rapidly. Sensing that they couldn't escape, one guy was brilliant. He decided to light his own fire, and he burned all of the grass around the wagons, the horses, the people. As that fire came quicker and quicker, it looked pretty heavy. It looked pretty magnanimous. It looked destructive. The end is near. The little girls screamed. A lot of the men screamed. "We're doomed," they said. The man who lit the fire said, "You can relax. The flames can't reach us here, for we're standing where the fire has already been." It burned around them. Tonight, if you're in Christ, you're standing where the fire has already been. If you're standing outside of Christ, you are standing where the fire is coming. And it will be certain, it will be sudden, it will be severe, as the Bible says. In fact, Jesus said of the cities that rejected him, listen to what he said, "It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Now you think of a person who rejects Christ, and you could say the same thing. It'll be more tolerable in that day for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that person who rejects Christ. W.C. Fields, the famous actor, was on his deathbed. He was not a religious man. But on his deathbed, he was thumbing through the Bible. And somebody noticed him. His friend walked in on him and said, "W.C., what are you doing with a Bible?" And W.C. Fields said, "I'm looking for loopholes." There are none. Except Christ. He's the only one. Tonight, I am your warning. Tonight, I am your messenger from God, telling you what the Bible says. So if you ever said, "Well, nobody ever told me. Well, I was never warned." You just have been. Now, you may walk out of here tonight and say, I'll risk it. You may live 10, 20, 30, 40, or more years. But one day, you will face the judgment of Almighty God. And you are either standing where the fire has been, Christ, the judgment has been taken upon him, or you're standing where the fire is coming. And that's part of the fairness, the justice, and the love of God.
Well, I hope that you'll choose to stand on Christ, the solid rock, because as one old hymn tells us, all other ground is sinking sand. One of the greatest gifts God has given us is his willingness to let us choose. So choose wisely, and don't take too long either. Well, our time has once again come to a close, but before we go, here's Skip and Lenya Heitzig to tell us a little bit more about the documentary, Shattered.
We've been studying your Making Your Mark series, and today we heard about shock and awe. I can't help when I think of that, of looking back at the real shock and awe during the Gulf War. That was horrific to see the bombs going off and the aircraft missile, air-to-missile things shooting in the air. And you have made a video that is just as shocking as this video, Shattered. Why would you want to make a documentary? It really does kind of look into the dark side of things, doesn't it?
It does. It looks at evil, and especially evil in the media. But I did it for a couple of reasons. Number one, to alert people to the trends that are happening around. Number two, to equip people in the midst of those trends. And then number three, I wanted to tell my story, because my story has a dark side to it. My testimony, I dabbled in occultic activity, looking for certain experiences. So part of that shock is a shock that wasn't shocking to me at the time. The shock was that God loved me in the midst of it and rescued me. So those are sort of all the elements that contribute to why we did it.
So we cover things like witchcraft and...
Mm-hmm. We talk about a little bit about the Church of Satan, people who are involved in the Church of Satan, or witchcraft, playing online games, gaming with people in a community. There's a gaming network of people who do this, and it's very dark and very evil. And so a lot of those exploratory methods that the media is really good at making accessible to kids.
I think it's a wonderful tool during the holiday seasons, probably for the older kids. This is probably better for your teenagers. I don't know about tweens. But for me, when I was a kid, the popular thing was a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, The Exorcist came out and the whole thing started, you know.
And Ouija boards still are gateways.
Yes.
To other experiences. A lot of people will say, I started with the Ouija board. And the interest that a Ouija board fascinates people, and they want to know, really, could I really get a message from the other side? What would that be like?
Would you say, once you open up yourself, like you did this as a teenager before you knew Christ, once you open yourself up to a perceptive or availability to the dark side, do you find that's a hard door to close? Is that something... You know, of course it defiles you then, but, you know, I think you had talked about Gino sometimes, you know, has these experiences that had he not engaged in this, he might not have been so open.
Right. Just to explain to our listeners, that friend of mine that I grew up with, and he's in that video as well, part of his story is my story. But we were very experimental together, and he would say, and still does, that even after this many years as a pastor— he can still easily, his mind can see certain things like auras. He used to read people's auras and see colors. And when he's tired or in a different frame of mind, those things are, he's more in touch with them than he would be if he had not opened that door.
Right. So I just think it's good for moms to know there are certain really gateway things that are, you want to have your kids avoid them at all cost.
Right.
And so Shattered may be full of shock and awe, but it could be a good shock for the kids to be warned and see.
And it's filled with hope, because in it we give handles, information, things that can be done, experts who raise children in the midst of this kind of media onslaught, telling us what to do about it.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And if you'd like a copy of that documentary or of today's study, just call us at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll also send you a free bonus teaching from Skip. It's called Life Hurts, Where's God? And it's a free gift to anyone who gets in touch with us for the first time. So give us a call and be sure to mention if it's your first time to do so when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or you can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Next time, we're going to examine an episode in Abraham's life that may seem like almost a repeat. Be sure to join us to find out more here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.